I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. When you talk about fearsome drug lords, there was no one like Pablo Escobar. No one. He and his Medellin cartel terrorized Colombia in the 80s and early 90s with bombings, kidnappings, and murders. Today is the 20th anniversary of Escobar's death, but for Colombians, the memories are still raw. Reporter Yolanda Perdomo of WBEZ in Chicago has her own memories and some thoughts about how we remember notorious figures.
I remember the day Pablo Escobar was killed. I was in my 20s and visiting my family in Colombia, and all anyone could talk about was the manhunt for Escobar, because he had been on the run for more than a year.
Fuentes oficiales indican que Pablo Escobar Gaviria murió.
There was nothing else on the radio or TV. The way people recall the Kennedy assassination, Colombians know where they were when government forces cornered and killed Escobar on a Medellin rooftop. That's my cousin Omar Gomez. 20 years ago, we watched the news together in Barranquilla. It's a beautiful city where people sit outside at night to talk, play music, or play soccer without a worry. But on December 2nd, 1993, no one was outside. Looking out the window, all I could see was the glow of TV sets in the neighborhood. When I ask Omar what he remembers of that day, he tells me he was really hoping the violence engulfing Colombia was about to end.
It was miserable, Yoli, because Colombia was living in a state of terror because of all the violence. Pablo Escobar was a very violent man. He was bloodthirsty. But yes, around here, we were all kind of in a daze.
Now, I live in Chicago. The city had its own notorious crime boss, Al Capone. And today, he's a tourist attraction.
And there they are. Got you right here, Dow.
The Untouchables tour takes the curious to see city landmarks, including places where Capone had his rivals gunned down.
300 machine gun bullets pelt the side of Holy Name Cathedral. There's a date, it says AD 1874. You can literally walk over there and stick your knuckles into the pith holes. Jaime Weiss was found dead directly in front of the date. He caught 23 slugs.
That's tour operator Craig Alton in a fedora and pinstripes. He describes Capone in admiring tones.
He had all the odds stacked against him, but by the time 1927 and 28 rolled around, you know, he's one of the richest men on the planet. This was like a Horatio Alger story to many people.
That's Pablo Escobar's story, too. He grew up poor and ended up the world's richest, most notorious drug trafficker. I wondered what Colombians here would think about Escobar becoming a tourist industry. I stop in Mecato's Colombian bakery in Chicago. Elmer Londoño was there with his kids to pick up pastries. He lived in Bogotá during the Escobar years and remembers what it was like. Londoño says one time he went to install a glass door in a building, and 2 days later, a bombing ordered by Escobar shattered it. When Londoño went back to clean it up, he found torn clothes from the explosion, and it brought tears to his eyes. And it's why he has no desire to see anything having to do with Escobar, including a popular telenovela about the drug lord's life. My cousin Omar feels the same way. He knows about the tour showing where Escobar lived and died, including Hacienda Nápoles, the sprawling estate where the plane that took Escobar's first drug shipment to the U.S. greets visitors at the entrance.
How could I go to a place like that knowing it belonged to someone who killed so many people? I'm going to take a picture of a plane for a souvenir? I'd never do that.
His son Omarcito sees things a little differently. He was only 2 when Escobar died.
No, pero sí me gustaría ir. Me gustaría ir a esa hacienda.
He says he'd like to go see it and explore the grounds, because now it's part of Colombia's history. For The World, I'm Yolanda Perdomo in Chicago.